بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Let's go ahead and inshallah pick up from where we left off. So we started off the prayer, takbir, Allahu Akbar, opening supplications. We studied three of them, alhamdulillah. After completing the opening supplications, the next step in the prayer is to say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. So let's do the word analysis of this real quick and figure out exactly what it means. أعوذ, this is called the isti'adha or the ta'awudh. أعوذ, all of these words, isti'adha, ta'awudh, and أعوذ, they all come from the same root. They all come from the root word, أعوذن. أعوذن. أعوذ in the Arabic language means to cling to something for the sake of protection, to feel safe. To cling to something to feel safe. And it's used, that's why in classical Arabic they would call a fawn, awdhun. A fawn is the offspring of a deer, a baby deer. They would call it awdhun. Because of the way it would cling to the mother, maintain physical contact with the mother to feel safe. A'udhu, normally how do we translate this, everyone? How do we translate a'udhu? I seek refuge. Okay, so we're going to adjust that just a little bit. We're going to make a slight adjustment to that. Refine our understanding of that. A'udhu in the Arabic language means I take refuge. Now you might say potato, potato. But there is a subtle difference. Asta'idhu means I seek refuge. A'udhu means I take refuge. Very subtle difference, but there is a difference. And the difference is that it shows greater desperation. You know, when somebody's very desperate, desperately in need of something, they don't say, like if somebody desperately needs food, they're starving, they're dying of hunger, they don't say, you think maybe if it's possible, only if it's not too much trouble, you maybe spare a couple of bucks. If somebody asks you for money that way, what are you probably going to say? No, I'm sorry. Because it doesn't seem very desperate. But if somebody's truly desperate, they would grab you by your leg and say, please give me food. And that's somebody who really, truly is desperate. So, a'udhu means I take refuge. But we're not like demanding from Allah. Rather, it shows desperation. Oh Allah, I need refuge. I take refuge. Ya Allah, I can't take no for an answer. Please, I take refuge. Billahi, two words, the letter ba, which means with. And of course, the name of Allah. I take refuge with Allah from what? What am I taking protection with Allah from? Min, from ash-shaytan. And of course, we know shaytan means Satan, devil, shaytan. But even the word shaytan has a root. It comes from the root word shaitan. Comes from the root of shaitan. Shaitan in the Arabic language, it means to be very far. To be very far and distant from anything good. That's why in classical Arabic they would say, بِئْرٌ شَطُونٌ. A very dangerous well. And what they would refer to that is a well that was empty, but was not capped, was not covered up, it would be very dangerous. Somebody fell in it, they could die. بِئْرٌ شَطُونٌ. So shaitan comes from the root word, which means to be very far from anything good. Because shaitan is, the Quran tells us he's accursed, right? La'na, mal'oon. Wa inna alayka la'nata ila yawm al-deen. Allah says this in the Quran to shaitan. Upon you is the curse. La'na, spiritually speaking, is the antonym, the opposite of rahmah, mercy. Mercy is to be close to Allah. La'na is to be far, to be cursed, to be pushed away, to be distant from Allah. So shaitan, the one who is cursed, very far, very distant. Then the word ar-rajim, which is an adjective of shaitan. This comes from the word rajim. The word rajim is a very interesting word. It means to throw away, to toss away, to discard. When you throw something, like you throw a ball, that's called ar-ramyu. Target, purpose, skill, all of that is involved. That's why shooting an arrow is called ramyu. Ramyu siham, ar-ramyu. But when you throw away trash, garbage, you discard something, that's called rajam. Throwing it away, tossing it away. Rajim bima'na al-marjum. Rajim means that which has been thrown away. Who has been tossed away, thrown away, like a piece of garbage, like a piece of trash. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I take refuge, desperately I take refuge, I take protection. Billahi, with Allah, min, from ash-shaytan, the one who is very far and distant from anything good, remotely, ar-rajim, and he is trash, he's garbage. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. That's the next thing we say here. At the same time, there's a more extended version taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Min hamazihi wa nafakhihi wa nafathihi. Min, which means from, hamazihi. Hamaz in the Arabic language. So before I even tell you all that, min means I take refuge with Allah from shaitan, who is trash, and also from hamazihi wa nafakhihi wa nafathihi. Let's eliminate the familiar parts of this, what we already know. What does wa mean, everyone? And, okay, so we know that, and. Hamazihi, nafakhihi, nafathihi. Do you see anything that reoccurs, like repeats itself? He, that means his, referring to shaitan. Shaitan's hamaz, his nafakh, and his nafath. Now all we got to do is figure out what these three words mean. Hamaz, nafakh, and nafath. That's all we got to figure out. So the word hamaz in the Arabic language, I'm going to tell you two things for each of these words. I'm going to tell you what it means linguistically. Then I'm going to tell you what the Prophet ﷺ told us about the meaning of this word. The word hamaz in the Arabic language means to poke. Like to physically poke someone, something. That's what it means. The Prophet of Allah ﷺ explained this as the insanity of shaitan. Junoon, the mental instability of shaitan. Now what does poking have to do with that? So the thing about shaitan is that shaitan is, you know, persistent, non-stop, relentless. It's to the point where he's obsessed. He's obsessed. Shaitan is very obsessive. He never stops, non-stop. So the connection is, imagine you're sitting in class. The student sitting in front of you falls asleep, goes to sleep in class, sitting there, out. The student sitting behind you sees that somebody has fallen asleep, recognizes and realizes the opportunity to mess around with him, and tells you, "Hey, sleeping." Flick his ear. Wet Willie. Put something in his shirt. Right? Like mess around with him. And you tell him, "No, man. Leave me alone. Do my thing. Leave him alone. Forget him. Let him sleep." So you go back to your work. 30 seconds later, this dude's sitting there like, "Man, this is a golden opportunity. This guy ain't doing nothing about it." So he leans forward again. He's like, "Hey, hey." So you turn around like, "What? Come on, man, hurry up before he wakes up." And you're like, "No, man, leave me alone. I'm going to do my own thing." So you go back to your work. 30 seconds later, he's like, "Man, this guy's not going to do nothing." So he leans forward again. "Hey, hey." Now you know that it's him again and what he wants. So this time you decide, "I'm just not going to even answer him. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to ask him what's up. I'm just not going to answer him. I'm just going to ignore this guy." So you just keep going about your work. You're not even turning around. You're not answering him. You're not even acknowledging the fact that he's calling you. So what ends up happening? He keeps going, "Hey, hey, you, man, come on." And you're just not turning around, not answering. So he reaches forward and does what? He pokes you in the back like, "You, man, I'm talking to you." When somebody finally gets to that point, what do you turn around and say to that dude? "What's your damage, bro?" Right? "What's wrong with you, man?" That's what you say to that guy. Because he's acting crazy. He's obsessed with this situation. Like, leave it be, man. Leave it alone. And see, that's what shaitan's like. Shaitan is nonstop. No quit, nonstop. He's got no off switch. All the time he's there. Hey, do this. Hey, don't do that. Hey, do this. Hey, don't do that. All the time, all the time. The hadith tells us, what's the one thing that makes shaitan run away? Adhan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When the adhan's called, shaitan books it. He runs as fast as he can, as far as he has to, so he can't hear the adhan no more. Terrified. The hadith actually says he's so scared, so terrified, that he loses control of his bodily functions. Walahu durat. He's breaking wind as he runs. Notice all the brothers laughed. All right? Alhamdulillah. Maturity. One of the qualities of our gender, mashallah. So he's breaking wind as he runs. He's terrified. But as soon as the adhan ends, and you say, Allahu Akbar, what does shaitan do? Comes right back. Hey, did you miss me? I miss you. Right? And he's right back talking to you again. You're trying to pray and he's right back. See, that's the problem. That's craziness. That's the insanity of shaitan. Mental instability. Obsessed. That's the problem with shaitan. The next word is nafakh. Nafakh in the Arabic language, very simply put, in the Arabic language, it means to inflate something, to blow air into something. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this refers to the arrogance of shaitan. And we get that. We make that connection. Shaitan is full of himself. He has an inflated ego. His head is huge. Right? I mean, somebody who would just defy Allah and say, nope, not going to do the sajda. That's somebody who's really, like, just, you know, somebody who's really deluded. Somebody really delusional. That's the problem with shaitan. Shaitan can't even walk through that door. His head is so big. Huge. But not only is shaitan that arrogant, but he inspires arrogance within other people. That's what shaitan does. That's shaitan's strategy. It just inflates your ego. So what ends up happening? You know, somebody looks at you or even says something or whatever the case is. Shaitan comes right then, right there. What did he say? Does he know who you are? Gonna talk to me like that? Lost his mind? Right? You and sisters, you know that whole thing? She didn't say salam to me, I ain't gonna say salam to her. She didn't say salam to you, I ain't gonna say salam to her either. And just keeps escalating until the point where there's like 30 women in a room and it's all quiet and silent. Nobody's saying salam to each other. Somebody break the silence. Say salam. Right? So that's shaitan. That's arrogance. That's where it comes from. The third word is nafath. Nafath. Now before I tell you what this word means, we're going to learn how to pronounce this word properly. The letter fa is enunciated by putting the upper teeth on the bottom lip and lightly blowing air. Everyone say fa. Tha is pronounced by putting the tip of your tongue between your front teeth and lightly blowing air. Everyone say tha. Tha. Now three times I want everyone to say nafath. 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 Now look at the piece of paper in front of you. Did you spit on it? Don't lie. I saw y'all, all these particles flying everywhere. Right? If you did spit on the piece of paper in front of you, all right? That's exactly what the word means. The effect of the word is the meaning of the word. The word nafath means to spit while you talk. You know, say it, don't spray it. Some people, when they talk to you, they share a little too much. You know what I'm talking about? That guy? You know what I'm talking about? Normally, when does that happen? When does it happen that you're talking and like just it's flying, it's out? When does that happen? When you get excited about something. Man, fireworks. It's like pew, pew, right? It's like all over the place. When you get excited, that's when it happens. Like, you know, when I talk, especially when I give khutbah, like especially in my local community, oh man, I get a little too excited. So in my own masjid where I was imam, there was this one brother that would come early for Jummah every week, and the poor soul would sit like right there. I felt bad for that brother. I used to apologize to him all the time. Especially if I knew today was like kind of like one of those emotional topics, I would warn him from before. I'm like, listen, brother, today's going to be bad. If you want to sit with an umbrella, I ain't going to mind, okay? Some days it was so bad, I'd be going at it. Brother could make wudu right there. It's like, right? Complete. Yes, that's gross. Too bad. All right? So, but that's what happens. When you get excited, it just starts to fly. Fireworks, just going, going. The Prophet ﷺ explained that this refers to the poetry of shaitan. The poetry of shaitan. What that, in more simpler words, like the enchanting words of shaitan. Because you see, shaitan, when he comes at us, he says, he talks, he says whatever he needs to say. He talks to us nonstop, in our ear, in our face. He gets all up in your grill and just talks. Says whatever he has to say in order to convince you. So the Prophet ﷺ taught us to take refuge with Allah from the words of shaitan, from the poetry of shaitan. Shaitan trying to get in our heads. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. All right? So this is taught to us by the Prophet ﷺ, and this is the next step of the prayer. I want you to go ahead and look here in your handout. Surah number 16, Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 98. It's towards the end of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ. When you read the Qur'an, فَاسْتَعِذْ. Then take refuge, seek protection. بِاللَّهِ with Allah مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. From shaitan who is trash. Okay? So, having said that, one of the other places, one of the other situations, circumstances, where we have been told to say the phrase, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, is when we begin to recite the Qur'an. When we begin to read the book of Allah. Can anyone tell me another circumstance or situation where we've been told to say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim? When you get angry. Yeah, when you get angry. When you get angry. Speaking of which, real quickly, a lot of times when we talk about like taking care of anger, we have like this, sometimes we get a little, you know, the rhetoric kind of gets out of hand. When we start preaching, gets kind of out of hand. And we're like, oh, Muslim never gets angry. False. Completely false. There's no truth to that. Of course a Muslim feels angry. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said that if somebody never gets upset at anything, never gets angry at anything anymore, that person is now no longer a human, that person is now a donkey. Because only a donkey doesn't mind anything. Only a donkey never gets upset about anything. You can kick it, push it, throw stuff at it, just there. They don't care, like whatever. But a human being has certain sensitivities, sensibilities. And when you violate those sensitivities or sensibilities, a human being is offended. So there ain't nothing wrong with being upset about something, feeling angry about something. But the whole crux of the issue is, how do we react, how do we respond to that anger that arises? How do we handle it? So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us some remedies. Number one, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. What is another remedy for anger that the Prophet ﷺ taught us? Can anyone tell me? If you're standing up, you need to? Sitting down? Lay down. What's another one? Make wudu. He said, make wudu. Now take this into consideration. When we pray, do we make wudu for prayer? Do we say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ in our salah? In our salah, do we go from standing up to sitting down? Sitting down to sujood? Salah is anger management for the believer. Salah takes the edge off. It's part of the wisdom of salah being distributed throughout the day. Takes off that edge. I mean, that's why. I mean, they call it road rage for a reason. Somebody's been at work all day long, left early in the morning, dealing with a terrible boss, you know, all this stuff at work, some bunch of people got fired, you were literally sweating the entire time, nervous at work, then you're driving home, and then all of a sudden there's a backup on the freeway, you've been sitting, the freeway's turned into a parking lot, right? You've been just sitting in one place for an hour, you turned off your car, like it's getting to, you just lose your mind after a while. Somebody cuts you off, you want to run them off the road. Right? You just start to lose your mind. That's what happens when you get home, when dad gets home, And he walks in and the kids are like, yay, Abu. And you're like, why is it so loud in here? Why can't anybody be quiet? Right? You know, the wife is kind of like, hey, you know, we needed to take care of a few things. Really? Right now? Right? It's just, if a mom's been home with the baby all day long, I told you all about the babies, mini tornadoes. A lot of times, you know, the understanding where somebody else is coming from is really important as well. You know, I mean, she's just been running around after this kid all day long. She hasn't even, I told you all my story, she hasn't even used the bathroom yet. Very emotional, right? She hasn't even used the restroom yet in peace and quiet. She hasn't gotten to do anything. She hasn't eaten food yet properly. And then all of a sudden, she's on her wit's end. She's completely frustrated. Now he's tired, and he's coming home, and he's like, oh, my God, I need to relax. And she's like, you never do anything. Everyone's yelling at each other. Well, that's where Salah takes the edge off. Completely takes the edge off. Brings you back to your center. Talk to Allah. Connect with Allah. Everything calms down. That's why Fajr, start your day with Salah. Dhuhr, day's at its peak. Take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, step to the side. Allahu Akbar. Talk to Allah. Salatul Asr. Day is kind of transitioning. You're kind of moving over. Pray Asr. Find your center before you start. You got to drive home. I realize you got to get home. Pray your Asr and then get in your car. Enjoy yourself. Salatul Maghrib. Evening time. You just got home. Pray. Salatul Isha. Last thing you do before you go to bed at night, before you turn in. Pray your salah. Helps you keep you centered and focused. That's why إذا حزبه أمر فزع إلى الصلاة. The companions say about the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he was dealing with any situation, anything came up, he at once immediately went to the prayer. That was his course of action. That's how he dealt with the situation. Page number 12. After saying أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, the next thing that we say is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The very first word, Bismi. Bismillahi, Bismi. That's again two words, the letter Ba and the word Ism. Ism means name. The letter Ba here is a new kind of Ba that we haven't learned about yet. This is called Ba'ul Isti'ana, the Ba of assistance. With the help of Ism. With the help of the name of Allah, Bismillah. Who is Allah? Ar-Rahman. We talked about this last night. What kind of merciful, everyone? Abundantly, very, very merciful. The next word is Ar-Rahim. We talked about this last night. What kind of merciful, everyone? Constantly merciful. With the help of the name of Allah, who is very, extremely merciful and constantly merciful. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So that's the next thing that we say in the prayer. After we've said A'udhu Billah and Bismillah, what is the next thing that we say in the prayer, everyone? What do we read now? Surah Fatiha. Did we study Surah Fatiha? Yes, we did, Alhamdulillah. Go to page number 27 to see what we studied yesterday. Flip all the way back, page number 27. And you'll see that Hadith Qudsi, the study of Surah Fatiha in the context of the prayer. You'll see it there. Page number 27 continues on to page number 28. At the bottom of page number 28, you'll see a hadith. I'm going to read the Arabic of this and translate as we go along. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال بينما جبريل قاعد عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم that ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما he relates, he says that one day while Jibreel alayhi salam was sitting near the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, سَمِعَ نَقِيدًا مِّن فَوْقِهِ he heard a sound from above. A صَوْتًا كَصَوْتِ الْبَابِ ذَا فُتِحِ a sound like the sound of a door being opened. فَرَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam raised his head up, looked up. فَقَالَ Jibreel alayhi salam said, هَذَا بَابٌ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فُتِحَ الْيَوْمِ لَمْ يُفْتَحْ قَطُّ إِلَّا الْيَوْمِ He said, this is a gate in the heavens that has been opened. It's never been opened except for today. فَنَزَلَ مِنْهُ مَلَكٌ An angel came down and descended down from this gate. فَقَالْ And he said, Jibreel alayhi salam said, هَذَا مَلَكٌ نَزَلَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ This is an angel that has descended down from the heavens. لَمْ يَنْزِلْ قَطُّ إِلَى الْيَوْمِ He has never ever come down to the earth except for today, before today. First time ever. فَسَلَّمَ So of course this angel said salam. It's the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said salam. وَقَالَ And he said, أَبَشِرْ بِنُورَيْنِ أَبَشِرْ بِنُورَيْنِ He said, congratulations on two noors, two lights, two illuminated gifts. أُوتِيتَهُمَا You have been given them. لَمْ يُؤْتَهُمَا نَبِيٌّ قَبْلَكَ No prophet before you has ever given these two gifts. لَمْ يُؤْتِهِمَا نَبِيٌّ قَبْلَكَ No prophet before you has ever given these two gifts. What are they? Number one, فَاتِحَةُ الْكِتَابِ سُرَةُ الْفَاتِحَةِ وَخَوَاتِيمُ سُرَةِ الْبَقَرَةِ And the last three verses, ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. لَنْ تَقْرَ بِحَرْفٍ مِّنْهُمَا إِلَّا أُعْطِيْتَهُ Anytime you recite a single word, a letter from these two gifts, you'll be rewarded. You'll be blessed by Allah. So these are, this is from the virtue of Surah Fatiha. Reason why I mentioned this is because what do we do after Surah Fatiha in our prayers? What do we read next? Another surah of the Quran. Well, I put a lot of thought into when I was putting the course together, this is 5 years ago, I put a lot of thought into what should be the next thing that we cover, another surah, what should it be? So I thought about a lot of things, maybe Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, I thought about, you know, maybe Inna A'tayna Kal-Kawthar and Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, since everybody reads that like in every single salah, greatest hits of all time, right? You know, it's like on repeat. So I was thinking about what to kind of put in there. And I remember reading this hadith in Sahih Muslim. And I was like, yes. So what we will study, what we will learn as a follow-up to Surah Fatiha are the last three ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. We're going to study the tafsir of them. But here's something over through experience. Over the first few classes I taught this again 5 years ago. I decided to kind of make a little bit of an adjustment. The last three ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah are very powerful and very inspiring and motivating. They're just amazing. So what I'd like to do is cover them at the end of class. So that we kind of end on a high note. All right? So that's the last thing that we'll do in class tomorrow, inshallah. Bidnillah. Okay. So now, where we stand is we're praying, well obviously we started offering our salah, praying, Allahu Akbar, opening supplications, A'udhu Billah, Bismillah, Surah Fatiha, another surah of the Quran, in this case the last three verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Now what do we do after we're done with all of that? What's the next step of the prayer? We go into ruku'. What do we say as we are going into ruku'? Yeah, I'm not asking what we say in ruku'. What do we say while we go into ruku'? Allahu Akbar. Very interesting. Didn't we study the meaning of Allahu Akbar? What does it mean? Everybody tell me, please. A couple of people are trying to hurt my feelings. They keep pushing it too. It's like, greatest! Greatest! Take that! Right? Allah is? Greater. Allah is greater. All right? And Allah is greater than. And then what's at the end of that, everybody? A blank. Whatever's distracting us from our prayer. We said that at the beginning of salah, and that's how we got started. Start off on the right foot. Get focused. What happens sometimes? You start off your salah, fantastic, great, Surah Fatiha, having this unbelievable, amazing conversation with Allah, read another powerful surah of the Quran, and then slowly it starts to kind of wear off, and before you know it, that stain on the carpet has never been more fascinating in my entire life. That's what happens. Before you know it, you're reading the shirt of the guy sitting in front of you. praying in front of you, right? I had to throw down some discipline, right? First, like, few times I taught this class, so my brother was traveling with me. I actually taught at a couple of places in Texas, Dallas, Austin, Houston, and he was traveling with me for the class. He made a shirt. He made a shirt. The back of the shirt said, "Is your prayer meaningful?" Question mark. So whoever read the shirt, ha ha, right? So I had to take his shirt and throw it away. So, but the thing is that what happens is very realistically, you started off, mashallah, alhamdulillah. You know, you had your mind in the right place. You were committed to your salah. Allahu Akbar, reflecting on every single word in the zone. Mashallah, mashallah. But we're only human. Something came up. Something happened. It just started to wear off after a little while. You got distracted again. By the time you're going into ruku, your mind's starting to wander again. You're getting all over the place. Allahu Akbar. Refocus. Refocus. Allah is greater than whatever it is that is still grabbing my attention. Whatever it is right now that's trying to pull my attention away from the prayer, Allah is greater, Allah is more important. Refocus, re-energize. Re-establish your khushu'. So we say Allahu Akbar and we go into the position of ruku'. Now what do we say in the ruku'? Everyone? Everyone knows this. Come on, everyone. Okay, apparently not. Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. What do we say, everyone? Very good. Very good. Very simple, very easy, not very long. Subhana, again, we talked about the meaning of the word subhana. It means how absolutely perfect. How absolutely perfect is Rabbi, my Lord, my Master, who is Al-Azim. Al-Azim. The word Azim, this is an attribute of Allah. This is one of the names of Allah. The word Azim comes from the root word Aduma. It means for something to be strong, firm, and solid. The word Aduma means for something to be strong, firm, and solid. That's why the bones in the body, that's why the bone is called Azmun. The plural of that is Izam. It comes from the same root, the same word. Strong, firm, solid. Allah, as an attribute to Azim, it means the one that is constantly strong, firm, and solid. Unshakable, stable, dependable, reliable. The one that is constantly strong, firm, stable, unshakable. That's a quality and attribute of Allah. And so what we say in our ruku' is Subhana Rabbil Azim, how absolutely perfect is my Lord, my Master, my caretaker, the one who is constantly strong, firm, and solid. Now, one thing that we don't consider a lot of times, we don't reflect on the position of ruku' as much as we should. We don't consider, we don't reflect, we don't think about the position of ruku' as much as we should. Ruku' is a very interesting position. We all know about sujood, but ruku'. Think about the implications of ruku'. The most unbalanced and awkward position in the salah is ruku'. When you go into ruku', all your weight is leaning forward, very unbalanced. The strongest, biggest, toughest person, when they go into ruku', what would happen even if a little kid ran into them? Fall right over. Ruku' is very... you're very unstable, very vulnerable, very weak, very unbalanced. And think about this. When we go into ruku', we willingly put ourselves in a very weak, vulnerable, unbalanced position. And in that position, what do we say? Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. We talk about how stable and firm and solid and unshakable Allah is. While we are extremely weak and vulnerable and unbalanced. That's the beauty of the prayer. That's khushu'. So we say Subhana Rabbil Azim. Generally, as a recommendation, try to say it at least 3 times. And you can say it more than 3 times, but just try to make it an odd number of times, as much as you can, of course. Alright? So that's what we say in our ruku'. But that's not it. Part of improving the quality of our prayer, our salah, is also increasing and diversifying what we read and what we say within our prayers. So there are some extra things that we can add to our ruku' for khushu', for quality. One of the extra phrases that we can add that was taught to us by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is subuhun quddusun rabbul malaikati war ruh. Subuhun quddusun rabbul malaikati war ruh. Subuhun, does that sound familiar to y'all? What word does it remind you of that we've already learned? Subhan, very good, subhan. Subhan meant how absolutely perfect. Subuh means constantly perfect. The one that is constantly perfect, never has a lapse in his perfection, never a moment of imperfection. Quddus, quddus. This comes from the root word quds. The root word quds means for something to be sacred, sanctified, hallowed, sacred. Quddus is the one that is constantly sacred. What does that mean about Allah saying that He is Quddus? The scholars mention that His mention, the thought of Allah, the idea of Allah, the mention of Allah is something that is constantly sacred. And what that means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not something that we speak about lightly or disrespectfully. We don't speak about Him in that manner. And this is very, very problematic today. Because we live in a culture where everything's game. It's a free-for-all. Everything's game. Everything's up for jokes and comedy and it's all good. And if somebody's got a problem with something, then they're uptight. They need to loosen up. But we also have to understand that we don't have anything against a sense of humor. Right? There's nothing wrong with humor. I mean, y'all been in class with me all day. I mean, I enjoy a good laugh. I don't mind joking around. This is, by the way, this is me being very serious. This is me restraining myself for a reason. Every week before I go off to teach a class, my wife looks at me and says, "Nobody likes your stupid jokes. So stop." Right? So this is me restraining myself. But, you know, at the same time, have to understand everything has a line, everything has a limitation. That's my point. There are some things we don't joke about. You know, somebody joking about somebody's family wouldn't be so funny. And we'd get offended. Similarly, joking about Allah and the messengers of Allah and joking about the Akhirah and paradise and hell and Allah and Day of Judgment, these are things that we just don't joke about. These are things that are not mocked. But it's even problematic to even say that today in society and community. You're somebody who's just uptight, difficult to work with, they don't have a sense of humor. What's your problem? When we're just saying there's a line, and we need to not cross that line. And today it's permeated through every aspect of society. It's presented in the most unthreatening form, right? Like a lot of times, I mean, not just comedy or TV shows or movies, but it's even like in cartoon form. Simpsons, Family Guy, constantly mocking, making fun of religion. And that's something we have to be very careful about. That's something that's unacceptable to a believer. That at the very least, what I can do is I cannot participate. I will turn it off. I'm not going to participate in this. I'm not going to take part in this. And I will say one other thing about this. We, a lot of times, I won't speak for y'all, I'll speak for myself. A lot of times, I can be very hypocritical about this. Somebody say something disrespectful about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Oh no. Not acceptable, not just can't. That's something I cannot tolerate. I can't deal with that. But we also have to be very careful that we have to be equally as offended if Isa alayhi salam is mocked. If somebody mocks our religion, we're very offended. We have to be equally as offended for somebody else when somebody mocks her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, don't curse, don't mock their gods and their deities. Otherwise, فَيْسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. They will come back and curse Allah without understanding even what they're talking about. So there are certain sensitivities that we need to have in place. There are certain things that are just off limits and we just don't go there. And this is implied by the name of Allah of Quddus, constantly sacred. His mention is sacred. Rabb. Rabb in the Arabic language, of course, we talked about this number of times. Lord, Master. Lord and Master. He's the Lord and the Master of Al-Malaika. Malaika in the Arabic language means angels. The singular of this is angel. Malak. Malak is angel. Malaika is the plural. Little bit of a quick side note. Just in case we have some, you know, mashallah, advanced Arabic students here. Malaika, malakun. Can somebody tell me what the three root letters of malaika or malak are? Brother? All right, meem, lam, kaf. Any other? Everyone agrees? Sounds logical? Sounds correct? Incorrect. All right, very interestingly, the word malak, the three root letters are hamza, lam, and kaf. Hamza, lam, and kaf. Alaka. So the original word was ma'lakun. But the hamza got dropped because it was very heavy to say. Ma'lakun. That's hard. So it became malakun. But malaika, it comes back. Alright, so hamza, lam, and kaf is actually the origin of the word. It drops away from the word, but that's the origin of it. And it means for the horse to bite down on its reins. Alaka al-farasul lijama. And the idea is that, imagine, the imagery is a messenger riding a horse, a courier riding a horse, and pushing his horse really, really hard, riding really fast, and the horse is biting down on its reins as it stomps forward. So that's the image, because angels don't waste time. They're very dutiful, very prompt, immediate, obedient. They do exactly as they've been told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right? So the Lord and the Master of the angels, the malaika, warruh, warruh. Arruh in the Arabic language, what does it mean, everyone? Soul. Very good. The soul. The word ruh in the Arabic language comes from the root word, comes from the same root as the word raha. Raha in the Arabic language, it means comfort. It means comfort. And so what's very interesting about that is there's a lot of very interesting derivatives that come from this particular word. One of the derivatives that comes from this is mirwaha. Mirwaha, right here, mirwaha, which means fan. It means fan because it makes you comfortable. All right? Similarly, another word that comes from that same root, raha, to be comfortable, is the word rih, which means a cool breeze. Makes you comfortable. Another word is istiraha, which means to take rest, to get some rest, because you get comfortable. Get some rest. Another derivative of the same word raha, which means comfort, is taraweeh. Now someone's like, wait a minute. That's not very comfortable. All right. The reason for that is the break that you take after four rakat, it's called a tarwiha. Take a break, take a rest. And that's why it's called tarawih. But the word ruh comes from this as well, soul. Why? Because the soul puts the body at rest. The Arabs called the soul the ruh because it puts the body at rest. When the soul departs from the body, what happens to the body? Gets stiff. Gets stiff. So they call it the ruh, keeps the body comfortable, keeps it loose. So the ruh means the soul. But one other thing though. Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel Gabriel, Jibreel alayhi salam, one of his nicknames given to him by Allah is Ar-Ruh. Nazala bihi Ar-Ruhul Amin. One of the nicknames of Jibreel alayhi salam is Ruh. Why is Jibreel alayhi salam called Ruh? That's the angel of death. Yes, so what was the primary responsibility of Jibreel alayhi salam? Bring divine revelation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran calls the Quran like the life of the hearts. So because he brings life and comfort and rest to the minds and the hearts of mankind, of people, by delivering the Quran, divine revelation, he is called Ar-Ruh. The way that you can distinguish whether the word Ruh is referring to the soul or if it's referring to Jibreel alayhi salam is that whenever usually, typically, when the word Ruh is being used in conjunction with the word Malaika, angels, it is in that place, in that context, is actually referring to the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Alright? So here it's referring to Jibreel alayhi salam. Subuhun Quddusun, apt, constantly perfect, constantly sacred, Rabbul Malaikati wa Ruh, the Lord and the Master of all the angels and of Jibreel alayhi salam, the Prophet, the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Now I got one last little thing for y'all to consider here, for y'all to think about. Is Jibreel alayhi salam one of the angels? Jibreel is one of the angels. So it already said he's the Lord and the Master of all the angels. Why mention Jibreel alayhi salam specifically after having already mentioned all the angels that he's included in? Okay, it's highlighting him because of his high status. We're about halfway there. Here's the thing. This is called dhikrul khas ba'd al-'am. When you mention something that belongs in a group that you already mentioned, so I say all the students, all the students and Abdullah. So I mention all the students, but then I specifically highlight one student amongst all of them. But that highlight has a reason, has a purpose behind it. See, the purpose of salah and all of these adhkar and everything we read and everything we say is to reflect, right? It's to reflect, to think, to ponder, to reflect, khushu'. Mentioning Jibreel alayhi salam specifically is really, really powerful. What do we know about Jibreel alayhi salam? Right. Quwa. We know he's very powerful, very strong. Hadith of Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ says, I saw Jibreel alayhi salam in his true, actual, physical form twice in my life, and both times it just left me just shocked. Like I had to sit down and take a minute to recover. It was mind-blowing. He describes what he saw. He said his feet were on the ground and his head was in the clouds. Everywhere, wherever I teach this class, whenever I give this example, I always ask people, you ever seen like skyscrapers? And a lot of times I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm like, you ever seen a skyscraper? And they're like, no. I ain't seen no skyscraper before. Y'all are New Yorkers. Y'all know what skyscrapers are. Every time I come to this city, it's like very dangerous for me. Because I got to go to like, you know, I got to go to like where all the tall buildings are. Wherever part of town that is. I don't get this uptown, downtown, low, midtown. I don't get all that. All right. But wherever all the big buildings are, I always got to go there. And then, you know, y'all are going to know what I'm talking about. You know the tourists that show up, that walk around like this? And y'all are like trying to move through them like stupid tourists. Right? I'm that guy. Thank you very much. All right? I've been here a dozen times, and every time I come here, I'm still like this. It's amazing. It just baffles me. Something so huge. Now imagine for a second, Jibreel alayhi salam is the size of the Empire State Building. His feet are on the ground, his head is in the clouds, literally. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. He said Jibreel alayhi salam opened two of his wings. And he said when he opened two of his wings covered the entire sky, the entire horizon from east to west. I could not see anything but Jibreel. He covered the entire sky. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, by the way, he has 600 wings. This is Jibreel alayhi salam. So unbelievable, so amazing. But here's the part where it gets really impressive. Jibreel alayhi salam, as huge and powerful and amazing as he is, who created him? Who feeds him? Who maintains him? Who protects him? Who does Jibreel bow down in front of? Who is Jibreel afraid of? Allah. So the reflection here, the reason why Jibreel alayhi salam is mentioned specifically, is for us to be able to reflect that if Jibreel alayhi salam is so awesome, so powerful, so mind-blowing, so amazing, imagine Allah who created Jibreel alayhi salam, how amazing must Allah be? How unbelievable is Allah? See, that's khushu'. That's where it comes from. Page number 14. Subhana dhil jabarut. This is something else extra that we can say in our ruku'. Subhana dhil jabaruti wal malakuti wal kibriyai wal azama. Subhan, how absolutely perfect is the. The in the Arabic language, it means the possessor of. Someone who possesses something, the possessor of. Al-Jabarut. Jabarut is from the root word jabar, which means to apply pressure to something. How absolutely perfect is the one who has the ability to apply pressure. The next word is malakut. Malakut. Malakut comes from the word milk, which means ownership. Like we studied, Malik is owner. But there's a rule of the Arabic language I'd like y'all to familiarize yourselves with. بِزِيَادَةِ الْحُرُوفِ يَزِيدُ الْمَعْنَى زِيَادَةُ الْمَبْنَى تَدُلُّ عَلَى زِيَادَةِ الْمَعْنَى. When you increase the letters in a word, the construction of a word, you increase the meaning of a word. Milk means ownership. Malakut got bigger. That means the meaning is more. There's something else in the meaning there. It means absolute, total ownership of everything. Because when we say milk ownership, it's human nature to naturally think of, you know, physical, tangible, material things. Ownership, money, wealth, physical possessions, physical items. But malakut refers to ownership of even though the tangible and the intangible. The things that we think of and the things that we don't even consider. Everything. Everything. For instance, you know, emotions, happiness and sadness, conditions, health, sickness, even iman, spirituality, iman and kufr. Allah is the owner of everything and anything. Malakut. The next word is wal-kibriya. Kibriya comes from the same root as the word akbar. What did akbar mean, everyone? Greater. The word kibriya, another derivative, is going to have a different meaning. The best way I can explain to you the meaning of the word kibriya is manifest greatness. Greatness that can't be ignored. Greatness that surrounds you. Greatness that is everywhere. Greatness that is witnessed all around you. That's why in the Quran Allah says, وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. For Him alone, for Allah alone, is the manifest greatness in the heavens and in the earth. You know, that's why the Arab poet, he says, وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةُ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدُ. In each and every single thing, there is a miraculous sign that tells you that Allah is one and He's alone. One time a person came to a Bedouin man, a Bedouin Muslim, a believer, challenged him. He said, "You believe in Allah?" He said, "Absolutely, yes I do." He said, "Likulli da'wa dalil." For every claim there is some type of proof, evidence. What is your proof? What is your evidence for believing in Allah? So the Bedouin man, simple folk, but very, just, I mean, look at the understanding, look at the thought. And the eloquence. He says, Al-ba'aratu tadulu ala al-ba'ir. He said, camel droppings tell you what? That a camel was here. Wa atharu al-aqdam yadulu ala al-masir. Footprints in the sand tell you that someone walked by here. So he says, fal-ardu dhatu ashjar. Wa-sama'u dhatu aflak. وَالْبِحَارُ ذَاتُ أَمْوَاجِ أَلَا يَدُلُّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّطِيفِ الْخَبِيرِ. The earth full of trees, the sky full of stars, the ocean full of waves. Doesn't this tell you that Allah is there? Everything around us reminds us of Allah. Should remind us of Allah. There's a beautiful narration in which it says that مَرَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمُ بِعْرَابِيٍّ وَهُوَ يَدْعُ فِي صَلَاتِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ passed by a Bedouin man. And he was praying and he was making dua in his prayer to Allah. فَوَقَّفَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمُ. The Prophet ﷺ stopped and started to listen to this man read. Make dua. You know, like a teacher, an observant teacher. Let me see what he's saying. So he kind of leaned in to hear him. He heard the man saying, يَا مَنْ لَا تَرَاهُ الْعُيُونَ. Oh, the one who eyes cannot see in this world. وَلَا تُخَالِتُهُ الظُّنُونَ. Minds cannot comprehend his greatness. وَلَا يَصِفُهُ الْوَاصِفُونَ. People cannot praise him as he deserves to be praised. وَلَا تُغَيِّرُهُ الْحَوَادِثُ. Situations do not change him. وَلَا يَخْشَ الدَّوَائِرُ. He does not fear the passing of time. يَعْلَمُ مَثَاقِيلَ الْجِبَالِ. He knows the exact weight of all the mountains in the world. وَمَكَايِيلَ الْبِحَارِ. He knows the exact volume of all the oceans in the world. وَعَدَدَ قَطْرِ الْأَمْطَارِ. He knows the exact number of drops of rain that fall from the sky. وَعَدَدَ وَرْقِ الْأَشْجَارِ. He knows the exact number of leaves on all the trees of the entire world. وَعَدَدَ مَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلِ وَأَشْرَقَ عَلَيْهِ النَّهَارِ. He knows all those things that the day may illuminate with its light and the night hides in its darkness. وَلَا تُوَارِي مِنْهُ سَمَاءٌ سَمَاءً. One sky cannot shield another sky from Allah. وَلَا أَرْضٌ أَرْضًا. One ground cannot shield another ground from Allah. وَلَا جَبَلٌ مَا فِي وَعَرِي. And a mountain in its deepest, darkest cave cannot hide anything from Allah. وَلَا بَحْرُ مَا فِي قَعْرِي. And the ocean in its depths and darkness cannot hide anything from Allah. And if that wasn't awesome enough, the man then makes a dua at the end of that. He says, اللهم اجعل خير عمري آخره. He said, oh Allah, make the best part of my life the last part of my life. وَخَيْرَ عَمَلِي خَوَاتِيمَهُ. Make the best of my actions the last action I ever do in this life. وَخَيْرَ أَيَّامِ يَوْمَ أَلْقَاكَ فِي. And make the best of my days the day that I will return and meet you. The Prophet ﷺ وَكَلَ إِلَيْهِ رَجُلًا. The Prophet ﷺ appointed a man. He said, wait here, when he's done, you bring him to me. When he was brought to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ gave him a gift. Asked him his name, asked him where he was from, and they gave him a gift. But realizing that he was a country bumpkin, simple-minded guy, Bedouin, he asked him, he goes, do you know why I gave you this gift? So the Bedouin goes, maybe we're related? It's my guess. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنِّ لِلْرَحِيمِ حَقٌّ. He goes, relationships have their own rights. لَكِنْ وَهَبْتُ لَكَ لِحُسْنِ ثَنَائِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. I gave you this because of how beautifully you praised Allah. So this is what this means. Kibriya, manifest greatness. Greatness that surrounds us. Wal adama. Adama means firmness, strength, and stability. Subhan, how absolutely perfect. Subhana dhil jabarut is the one who possesses the ability to apply pressure. Wal malakut, the one who possesses complete total ownership of everything and anything. Well, kibriya, how absolutely perfect is the one who possesses manifest greatness. His greatness is all around us. Well, azuma, and the one who is firm, strong, stable, and solid. Azuma. So this is the second thing that we can say in our ruku' in the salah.